my guest is Craig Burnson. How are you, Craig?
I'm great. How are you doing,
man? I'm doing great. You're a .NET architect, are you not?
Okay, that might be stretching it, but close enough, yeah.
Well, what does it say on your business card?
It's senior software engineer, actually, on my business card.
But. That's interesting. So architect and engineer.
Yeah.
These are terms that didn't originate with software.
Correct.
They originated in the building world, the world of building buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And you have some ideas that maybe that metaphor that that we've been using for decades, that software, building software is a lot like building a metaphor. Maybe that's outdated. That's the wrong metaphor.
I think so, because what happens is everything in a building is all designed up front. You have to have your blueprints, you've got to have all those permits, you have an architect, you've got a contractor, you've got scaffolding, even a lot of this other terminology comes in. But what happens is that makes it very difficult to make changes. And so,
right.
Basically, the construction industry does things in a waterfall methodology.
Sure. Well, what's a better metaphor? Should we be using a metaphor? Is there one that fits?
I think one that fits is probably gardening. I didn't create this. I got this book from the book Pragmatic Programmer.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually only compare gardening to one aspect of software development, and that's refactoring.
Okay.
So I've kind of taken ideas and tried to look at other gardening concepts that might fit into software development.
Now, tell me some of those. What are some of the concepts that fit?
Well, metaphor? You know, if you're going to plant things, the first thing you need is some good soil. So perhaps the place we want to start is agile methodologies. Now, agile, it really doesn't affect how you develop the software. It's more of a project management technique.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing is water.
Okay.
So you got to water your plants. They're not going to grow without it unless, of course, it's a cactus or something like that. So that would be software craftsmanship.
Cacti do need water, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. So software craftsmanship came about because software developers said, agile's great, but it doesn't really apply to really how I develop software. And so they had, just like Agile, four concepts that fit perfectly in with Agile, complementary to it.
Okay.
So they really fit well together. And of course, plants need light, unless it's like mushrooms or something that you're growing under the ground. And so the light is your personal development. And everybody really needs to do personal development, reading blogs, reading magazines, reading books, attending conferences.
Like this one here?
Like this one here, that we're at this week here. So that's probably the three primary ones right there. But there's other things. Pruning, for example. If you're growing roses, you have to prune them. It's a requirement.
All right. So when gardening, I noticed that if every year when the bud starts to die, when the flower starts to die, you cut off the flower, that makes the next one come back strong.
Right.
The next year.
So for us, when our pruning, that actually is refactoring.
Okay.
You fix that code. You prune out the bad stuff. You bring in the new.
Yeah. What else?
Things like insecticides. You know, you've got to throw.
Kill the bugs.
You kill the bugs.
Yeah.
So how do we kill the bugs? Our best tool as developers is actual unit testing.
Yeah.
And you know, you hear test-driven development where you write the test up front, but I really think that if you're using test-driven development or test after, it's better than no test unit testing at all.
I've agreed with that. I've had that argument before.
So just do the unit testing, and just, whatever way you want to do it's fine with me. Just do it.
The fertilizer is the project manager, right?
Yeah, he's probably throwing a lot of fertilizer on that project.
Maybe he's a sales guy.
We won't wheel about the sales guy. He's got, he's out promising things that haven't been in the product yet.
Let's go through the people who get the salt of the show.
So there's other things. You've got to ever have the right tools. You've got to really understand the tools you're using. So for us in the .NET world, that's Visual Studio. And what third-party products can you get to improve the development experience and improve the software you're developing?
Okay.
And then add on things like, you know, MVC or Entity Framework and that sort of thing that really kind of aren't built in Visual Studio itself. Add a lot of value.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
Well, there's probably a few other little concepts.
So let me ask you, so how does it help us? How does a good metaphor help us? You know, so building architecture doesn't fit perfectly. Maybe gardening fits a little bit better. Does that help us to understand better by using a good metaphor?
I think it does. I mean, if you look at design patterns, which is another one of those concepts we need to be understanding.
Yeah.
You know, design patterns are solutions to common problems.
Yep.
So we have common problems we're trying to create. Software grows. it changes in unpredictable ways, like your garden. You get bugs, you've got to do all this other stuff to it, just like your garden. So it's important that we take that and try to understand it. So if you're trying to come up with software gardening and implement these things, don't do them all at once. You know, if you want to plant a garden, typically you're going to start off small and learn some basic concepts before right. you go, you know, way out there. So that's kind of like nurturing. You need to nurture your plants along so they grow up.
Okay.
So our nurturing in software gardening would be a continuous delivery, which is continuous integration and automated testing and a continuous deployment okay. type process.
One of the benefits I always saw of a metaphor is that it helps me to remember principles.
Yeah.
So it's something that's hard to remember, especially if I'm new to software development. I don't know what even, I've never heard the words continuous integration. I've never heard the word refactoring before. But if I can relate it to something I do know, like gardening, something that's more familiar right. to me, that's for me, that would be an advantage.
I think that's a big advantage.
Using the right one, actually, maybe it keeps me on the right track a little better.
Yeah. That's definitely something, you know, even a lot of seasoned developers, a lot of times you go back and learn a lot of the, you know, review the basics. It helps you
absolutely.
To be moving along.
Absolutely.
So.
Anything else?
I think we covered the primary aspects of it. Right
yeah.
There.
So you actually give like a 75-minute talk.
Yes.
On this topic.
Yes, I do.
Are you delivering that soon in the near future?
I was delivering it quite a bit last fall. Nothing. Oh. I think it is coming up soon.
What's your next speaking engagement?
My next one would be Utah Code Camp. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing this one there.
You're helping to run that, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
What is that?
That's March the 10th.
Okay, this probably won't be out by then.
Yeah.
It's probably out after that.
2 weeks after that is the Boise Code Camp.
Okay.
And I'm doing it there.
All right. Craig, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Dave. Help friends solve their technology problems.